Welcome into a Thursday edition of Community Corner here on 95.7 KQWC. Not normally what I do, of course. I'm Quinn Douglas. Normally this is Pat Powers' gig, but this is something that I wanted to do. This is a little more sports-oriented, and we got a great guy we're talking to here. For some of you, you might remember him as the head coach of the Iowa Barnstormers and a Webster City native himself. Actually just moved back to Webster City. Coach John Gregory. Coach, thanks for hopping on with us here this Thursday morning.
You know, this is always a great place. When I lived here before, the people that worked out here, and one of the daughters was a good friend of mine, and so good to be here.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you graduate from Webster City High?
Yes, yes.
Did you play for Coach Rollinger in your time?
I played for Harley Brown. Yep. Here, yes. That was, and let me say this about him. He's one of the main people that made me a success. He was a wonderful, wonderful person. And it was just great.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, the stretch of coaches that Webster City football has had. You talk about Harley Rollinger, then Coach Ty, who was here for such a long time, and now, of course, Bob Howard, who has brought the Lynx back to great success. But you first got your start in coaching career at Iowa Central over in Fort Dodge, and you know that's pretty close to here. What was that like coaching, especially in the time frame you were coaching?
Well, my first job was in Fort Dodge at North High School, or the North Junior High School.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I started. Then I went down to Lake City. I was the head coach down there. And I got Raleigh, I'm sure, was one of the they helped me get a job in the junior college.
Okay.
And Paul Shoup was the head coach, and I was an assistant. And the great thing about that was that because he was a basketball coach in the junior college, he was unable to recruit. So that was my first experience of recruiting. And I tell you, I went full bore. We had five players off of that team that went to the NFL.
And I think I saw one of the players, speaking as a fan of the Las Vegas / Oakland Raiders, one of the players you recruited was John Matuszak.
Yeah, John Matuszak, I'll tell you, that was a really interesting thing. If you got time, I can tell you about him.
Oh, yeah.
He's 6'7", 200, and he had a 32-inch waist. And
he was a specimen.
Well, and he was a really good guy, a really good player. Mm-hmm. And he... the day before I recruited him, he was on their track team. He ran a 10-200 at that size, and he also threw the discus for a high school world record.
Oh, my gosh.
So he had tools.
Yeah, oh, he absolutely did. I mean, he was an unbelievable player for the John Madden, Tom Flores Raiders. But why we have you here is... finishing up on Thursday, we have two shows at the Webster Theater of American Underdog, the story about Kurt Warner. And, of course, your connection was you were the coach of the Iowa Barnstormers when the franchise was first created. And not only that, your quarterback was Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
And what was it like trying to get Kurt to come play for the Barnstormers? Because, obviously, you got him from that Hy-Vee in Cedar Falls that's so famously talked about.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I went to University of Northern Iowa, and Terry Allen, who was the head coach there.
Great coach.
I got Terry. He called me and he said, "Hey, we got this guy. That I think he's got a chance." And what happened to Kurt was the first 3 years over there, he was behind a Ron Johnson who was drafted, and so this is going to be his big stand. And he about the third game, I think they were playing Wyoming, and he got a shoulder injury. So he really didn't play very much, and you know what I did? I went back and got a basketball film of him, just to see how agile he was and whatever. He was first team All State basketball player.
Cedar Rapids Regis High School.
Yep.
No longer around thanks to Cedar Rapids.
So I built the thing around that idea, and he was able to. He was not very fast, but he was very agile.
Yeah, well, before you showed up, I was watching some of the highlights from Arena Bowl 10 against the Tampa Bay Storm. Their quarterback was Jay Gruden, of course, the younger brother of former Tampa Bay and Oakland Raiders coach John Gruden. And that Arena Bowl game, I guess from what I've read, that's chronicled a lot in the movie. What is your recollection from that Arena Bowl? That game was played at the Veterans Auditorium in Des Moines. What do you recall from that game?
Well, the thing of it was, that was the very first year for the team, for that league. And to work our way all the way through the first year was really pretty interesting.
How many teams do that?
Yeah. And so anyway, and he was a star. And, you know, I think we won the game because we ran a quarterback sneak and then a fullback. We're on 1 yard line, and I'm sure he scored. And but anyway, you can't do it in that game, not anything about it now. Anyway, that was a good show for him. I helped him. On the pro days at Iowa State and IOU and UNI, we trucked him around there. So some of the scouts got a look at him at that particular time.
So he's there for 3 years, 1995 to 1997. Then he gets signed by the St. Louis Rams. And at the time, the Rams shipped him off to Europe to play in NFL Europe. Did you have many conversations with Kurt at that time when he was over in Europe? Were those conversations like, or was it a little bit tough?
No, it was. He was over there, and you know, there was no communication.
No communication. So 1998, he comes back to the Rams. He's pretty much, for all intents and purposes, the third or fourth string quarterback on a Rams team that goes 4-12. Dick Vermeil's in his second year, coming back out of retirement. And going into 1999, however, he is able to work his way up to number two in the depth chart behind Trent Green, who they signed from the Washington, at that time, the Washington Redskins. And the famous story goes, as you'll see in the movie, that, you know, I don't think this is ruining anything, but Trent Green goes down with an ACL injury in the third preseason game, and Kurt Warner steps in. And when that happened, Coach, did you have any talks with Kurt throughout the season about, oh my gosh, what is this going to be like? Or did you have any conversations with him about
that? I sure
did.
His first time he stepped on the field was at Kansas City. And I was at that game. And, you know, we had the thing I think that made him was, or at least we had a hand in it, is a quick passes, and he got so quick. He was so quick and so accurate, and read the things, and that's what carried him.
And that offense, the greatest show on turf that the Rams had for that 3 year period from 1999 to 2001. Where arguably you could argue they were one of the greatest offenses in the history of football. Mike March was the offensive coordinator, and they talked a lot about, if you watch the right documentaries, that a lot of what Mike March was doing with the St. Louis Rams was a lot like what you guys were doing in arena football.
I think our playbook was in their hands. I mean that.
Yeah.
And because Kurt, there were some things that he did that were very interesting, and they wanted him to stay in the pocket, and he's not going to win playing in the pocket, and so he went back to our throwing the hot passes, and he would just did them great. It was fantastic.
Did you ever have any conversations with Coach Martz about the style of offenses you guys ran, or was it just kind of, you know, my gosh, this just looks a lot like what I was doing over in Iowa?
Yeah, I never talked to him. I talked to Marks one time, and that was after a game down that I had gone to. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's just one of those things. Kurt did well, and he was smart enough to make him let him use that quickness.
And obviously, for people that know the story, Kurt Warner goes on to win the Super Bowl 34 with the St. Louis Rams against the Tennessee Titans down at the Georgia Dome. Did you get to go to that Super Bowl against the Titans, or were you watching from home?
I watched it from home.
Well, you know, because the game, it goes down to the final minutes between the Titans and the Rams. Of course, the decider was, at least for the Rams' perspective, offensively, Kurt Warner launches a bomb to Isaac Bruce with 2 minutes to go. And watching that, the last offensive drive from the Titans, what's the feeling like in your gut watching Steve McNair just kind of run all over the field and just make stuff happen?
Well, You know, it reminded me that day of that the year we won the Grey Cup, and it was down to the last right seconds. There were 3 seconds left, and we kicked a field goal and won the game.
Yeah. Yeah, the Grey Cup, for those that aren't aware, that's the pro football championship for the Canadian Football League up north. You won a couple of those in your time up north.
Yes, I did.
You won one with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, correct?
Exactly. You're well schooled.
I did my research. But after, St. Louis, St. Louis has a great 3-year run. Obviously, their reign comes to an end when kind of an unknown quarterback, a guy named Tom Brady, beats Kurt Warner in the Super Bowl back in 2001. Yeah. After that, Kurt's career kind of, it kind of tails off a little bit, injuries and just not very, very good play. Did you have any conversations with Kurt throughout that period where he was transitioning from the Rams to the Giants for a year and then with the Cardinals before kind of his second comeback? What were conversations like?
When I saw him, I went to a number of events, and Kurt and I always had good conversations between each other. That's the way it goes sometimes.
And I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm going to go see it this week. I know that for sure. I want to wait for this to come to the Webster Theater. But his second comeback with the Cardinals, where he leads the Cardinals to the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers, they come up just short at the very end. But what did it feel like the second time around seeing Kurt go back to the Super Bowl and have a chance to win another one?
Yeah, I was really excited about him playing in that game, and and I think he did very well, and I gave him a couple of phone calls, but I tried not to press him too hard. He played well then, and he was getting older, so he got a late start. 29, where you got in pro football.
And 29 is pretty old for a rookie in any profession,
right?
But you were up at the Webster Theater this weekend for the showing of American Underdog, doing a lot of promotional stuff. What was that like? Being back here in your hometown, promoting a movie that's about one of your players from your time in coaching. What was that like for you?
Well, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that we got that done. And, it was it was a movie. It was a love story.
Yeah.
and that was good. And I thought the film was really, really good. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, people haven't seen it, go see it. And it's here, right here in Webster City.
Yep, they'll be showing it here at the Webster Theater until Thursday night. The final show will be at 7 p.m. I know I'm definitely going to try to make time to go see it this week. I've been waiting for it to come to the Webster Theater, so I don't have to go very far to go see it. But I'm very excited to go see this movie. It's a guy from Iowa. It's a guy that a lot of people in the state love and admire, and you're lucky to have a chance to coach him along the way and be a big stepping stone to where he is now.
Oh yeah, well, I think the Webster City people said that's our guy, and then someday they knew that was going to happen, and I think that it carries over from University of Northern Iowa to talking about a small school and whatever. He was he stepped in there, he did great. There's just no ifs, ands about it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming on here this morning. Just a reminder, the final showings of American Underdog will be today at the Webster Theater. I believe 2 p.m. for the first one, 7 p.m. for the first showing. So make sure you get out, Webster City folks. One of your very own is represented in John Gregory, the former head coach of the Iowa Barnstormers, as well as he made a couple head coaching stops up in the CFL, as well as had a nice start to his career here in the state of Iowa. Back here in Webster City, great to have you back here in Webster City, Coach, and definitely hope to see you around.
Well, I'm happy to be able to go out here and throw some things out about the game.
Yep, thank you very much, Coach. This has been a great Thursday edition of Community Corner. We'll be right back after this here on 95.7 KQWC.